It's time again for rock and roll. Your snot rag shouldn't be near me. There you go.
Put it in my pocket.
The woman was worried about the wart on her whiskers.
Should saucy sharks seek shelter soon? Should saucy sharks seek shelter soon?
The biscuit was full of bullets.
The box of biscuits and a box of mixed biscuits and a biscuit mixer.
Well, that's pretty good. That one was pretty good. Okay, here we go. The man walked into the store filled with boogers, and hospital clothing.
Boogers, Baron, Beacon, Beckons, Bacon, Barons.
All right.
Bacon,
with that,
Barons.
With that, I think it's time to start the show. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. What's up?
What's happening? Yeah, I'm a little hot. I feel good though.
No, actually, you're pretty good. Beautiful. I can make you hotter, actually.
All right.
I can make you a little hotter there. How's that? You're a little hot. You're so hot, TS.
Thank you.
You're so fucking hot. My name is Darren Pfeiffer. That is TS. You're listening to The Dangerous Darren Show. It is on the Adobe Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hit us up on Twitter at DangerousD_show. TS is always at Burn H Wood. Burn. I'm at Darren99. Also, thanks to our good friends at Blue Microphones for the use of these Yeti Pro mics that we use every week on the Dangerous Darren Show. They are fantastic, exquisite microphones, and they sound great. They are also used in traditional settings for recording bands and recording vocals, but we are using them for the Dangerous Darren Show here on the Adobe Radio Network. Thanks again to the folks at Blue Microphones on Twitter. And the drums you heard at the top of the show, that was me laying down the fucking fat beats on the Roland V drums. Thanks to our good friends over at Roland_US. They're on Twitter. Hit them up when you get a shot. Today is the 29th day of March, the year of our Lord, 2016. Today is the show number 25 on the Dangerous Darren Show. We have Greg Zahn. He is a baseball analyst for Rogers Sportsnet in Toronto. He covers all of Canada, covers the Major League Baseball. He's been a catcher for a number of various teams, including the Blue Jays. He's a bit of a legend in Toronto. We also have music from hip-hop artist The Paradigm Shift, and he is at Paradiggy. P-A-R-A-D-I-G-G-Y. Paradiggy. Tell me a little bit about The Paradigm Shift. What do you know about this guy?
What do I know?
What do you know about The Paradigm Shift? What do you know about The Paradigm Shift? He's a hip-hop guy from Los Angeles.
Native Los Angelino. Rapper at 22, member of the LA chapter of Music and Strength, which specializes in artists from every facet, the b-boys, musicians, and graffiti heads.
Graffiti heads. I never heard that before.
Making music for over a decade, so I guess he was making music since he was 12. So everybody starts at young, and that's cool.
I guess so.
Jeez. And he collaborates with his brother, rapper Mike Sperling, and it's Caleb and Mike.
And he doesn't have a website, but he has a SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So if you're on SoundCloud, just search Paradigm Shift, and he'll come right up. And we're going to play a song called Shot Down. We're going to get some more music from this guy because I listened to some of his tunes, and it's pretty good stuff. You found it, right?
Yes.
Well done, TS.
Yes.
Your A&R ear is sharp as a tack. I want to talk to you. Actually, before that, we got to wet the whistle. What do we got going on here? We have Bell's. That's the name of the beer? Or is it called Oarsman Ale?
Oarsman Ale.
Brewed and bottled by Bell's Brewery Incorporated. Comstock. Is that Michigan?
Michigan.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Missouri. Missouri's M-O. Michigan's M-I. So it's Bell's Brewery, and their brew, it's called Oarsman's Ale. It's pretty good.
It is.
Cheers.
Tasty. Mm. I'd have to say it's a buoyant, tart, and refreshing from using traditional sour mash.
You're just reading the bottle.
Mash methods.
You're not giving a true assessment. It's hoppy.
It's hoppy. It's a little crisp finish. I like it. It's an ale. Goes down smooth.
I like the artwork. Very cool. Oarsman Ale. Definitely go and give it a...
I could drink a lot of
give it a look. T.S., I got good news. I have very good news, actually.
What do you got?
That wasn't the good news. That was just a burp. But the good news is that I am officially over my sickness.
It's been a long time, man.
Do you remember how I was sick for like fucking a month? Basically like a month.
I was worried about you.
I had a fever at certain times. I was sneezing. I was coughing. I had terrible body aches. Like my legs, my back, my arm, everything just hurt. I really thought I was going to die. I made a will.
Okay.
I made a living will and I gave you the V drums.
Perfect.
And I also left you the electric guitar and the keyboard that doesn't work. So it might just need a fuse, but anyway, those are yours.
Thanks. Thank you.
If I was going to die of this sickness, which I came pretty close. I had 103 temperature at one point. Really bad.
103? You didn't even go to a doctor.
Nope. Fuck that shit. I don't go to doctors unless things fall off my body. Then I will go to the doctor. Well, my mom said I should go to the doctor. She's like, go to the doctor. Your temperature is like 102. Just go to the doctor. It's fuck. You're going to die. I'm like, I'm fine, Mom. I'm just going to go in the bathtub and some ice water. So I like a man, you know, typical man. I just fought through it. And here I am on the other side, feeling like $1 million. Went on a hike today. Going to go to the gym. I feel good. I went skating.
It's another beautiful day lately.
Yeah, another beautiful day to hit the Stuntwood. And you were just on a trip in the desert area of Los Angeles, Southern California, the Joshua Tree area.
Did some off-roading in Joshua Tree.
What did you do over there with your lady friend?
We did some off-roading, drank some champagne, some brewskis.
Wow. Was there strawberries in it, you weirdo?
We like to drive out to the middle of nowhere and drink champagne. It's kind of
that's
what
people
do.
They drink champagne in the desert. So, you went out there, you drank champagne, you went some off-roading.
You know, there was so much rain that the whole desert is in bloom. So there's flowers everywhere. You don't get to see that all the time. Even the Joshua trees were in bloom.
Wow.
With huge white flowers. It's impressive.
Were you in like a tent or a shack or a hut or a cabin?
We were in a motel, but it might as well have been in a shack.
A motel? Those are the worst. Was there a vibrating bed for a quarter?
We bring our own sheets.
Oh, of course. Yes, of course. Yes, when you stay in motels, you don't have a germaphobe, you have to be a germaphobe.
I think I've developed a germaphobia from living in hotels.
Most of the time, you're not in the hotel, are you? You're out and about doing fun things?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just talking about tour life. Tour life, well, for me, I was just on the Flogging Molly cruise, the Salty Dog cruise. I believe it was the second annual Salty Dog Cruise, which is Norwegian Cruise Lines, and we went to the Bahamas, and then we went to another area of the Bahamas, this private island that Norwegian Cruise Lines owns.
Really?
And it's like this bay, and Flogging Molly and Fishbone played on the beach, and it was free food, free booze, the whole nine yards, wherever we went. I didn't spend a dime. It was just me and my friends, Marla and Steve. We went, and the band, Punk Rock Karaoke, Greg Hetson, Steve Soto, and Stan Lee, and we were all there, and we played three shows on the boat, and every time we played, it was packed, and the list of songs was outrageous, and we played for at least an hour and a half every night. And Sunday night was a little weird, T.S., because it's the Flogging Molly cruise. It's their cruise. They're doing it annually. We're probably going to end up doing it again next year. Well, the singer of Flogging Molly is Dave King.
Yeah.
Dave King is about as Irish as you can get. He looks Irish. He sounds Irish. He writes Irish songs, and that's what he does. So the last show we played, Dave King walks on stage after the first song with a glass of wine and doesn't leave the stage for the whole show. Now, we're trying to run the show, right? And Dave King is a nice guy, and Flogging Molly are fucking awesome. And he just was walking around and patting people on the back and helping the people sing along to the songs. And if you knew the words, he sang it. And he just had the wine, and people were refilling his glass, and he kept drinking the wine and dancing. And give it, if I did like some crazy fill, he came up and he was like, "Whoa, my God, that's fucking amazing." And he really enhanced the show. So props to Dave King. And Flogging Molly cruise, awesome. We did it, and it was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year for sure with Punk Rock Karaoke. What else is going on? T.S., me and you have got to sit down at some point soon and talk about this bar that we are talking about open. I'm not going to share the idea of the bar because I think it's gold. I think it's fucking gold. I do. And I've talked to some other people and they said, wow, that's a sweet idea. But me and you are going to have to move into some serious phases of getting this shit knocked out with some, at least some preliminary numbers.
Yes.
Like how much is this going to cost? How much are the TVs? How much is the electricity and the cable? We have to hire people. Liquor license versus not liquor license, you know, as far as being grandfathered in when you own a place. Like there's all these things that we need to talk about. We need to talk about location. Because I kind of want this bar opened and ready to go in Los Angeles, preferably West Hollywood, somewhere around here, or at least Hollywood, by the start of the football season.
By September. So we really got to get this shit going.
It doesn't take as long as you think. I talked to some people and they're like, as long as you got the funds, as you find an investor or go to a bank or whatever the case may be, as long as you have the funds, it happens pretty quick because you're just paying for things. How much does it cost to fix this? We'll fix it. How much? Okay, you set the opening date. Then you get all the supplies like we're going to have TVs and we're gonna need cable. We're going to need electricity. We're going to need like to hire a cook, you know, because we're going to have food. We need to hire at least one bartender to start. You know, we can bartend for a while, but there's probably...
I'm the worst bartender.
So am I. But we're going to have to hire guys. So there's things we need to figure out. A location is going to be the biggest one.
I should go to bartending school. I should go to bartending school.
We should both go to bartending school and figure this shit out. But me and TS are talking. We've been talking for some time about opening a really cool bar in the Los Angeles area and making that our jobs, like having it be like a really fun job, something we can build together. And we have an idea and it's really cool and we think it's unique and nothing like it in Los Angeles. And it's going to appeal to a couple different markets and we're excited about it.
You're going to love drinking there. Everybody's going to love it.
Yeah, you're going to walk in and we're going to remember your name. Now, like when we go to the Wurtz House, they know who we are. And now, when I go to Barney's Beanery over here in West Hollywood, they all know who I am. And that's why I go to those places, because the service is good, the food is good, and they know me. They like me. They're like, Darren, what's up? You want a Barney's Brew? When I walk into Wurtz House, they're like, hey, you want a Kronbacher? You ready to go? Here's your sign, Darren. Like, they know me. And that's something I think we really need to invest in is remembering our customers and keeping it cool. So we'll be broadcasting the Dangerous Darren Show from this new bar. And we have a name, but we're going to wait on it. I don't want to spill any of the intellectual properties on the show. But
the whole bar will be the show.
We'll just set up mics. It'll be unfucking believable. Did you know, TS? You ready? Did you know?
I'm ready.
Ready? This is a good one, by the way. Allegedly. I don't know how true this is. I didn't do any research. But did you know, in ancient times, people believed that rabbits and or hares were hermaphrodites that could give birth without compromising their virginity? This idea led to the association with the Virgin Mary. And that's why we have bunnies at Easter time. That is my did you know.
Wow, I was wondering the coalition between Easter and rabbits.
Well, it can't be fucking because rabbits fuck a lot, apparently.
They do.
Fuck all the time. And Jesus never fucked. Well, maybe he did.
Well, that's not how he got here, allegedly. Allegedly.
He had a girlfriend, didn't he? She was a hooker.
Oh, that was...
Cinnamon?
Oh, man.
But anyway, that's why bunnies are associated with Easter, because the Virgin Mary, and people thought that they could get themselves pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Did you know?
I did not know that. All right. Hashtag did you know?
That's a hashtag now? Wow.
The initial spurt of a man's ejaculation travels at approximately 28 miles per hour.
Wow, geez, really?
Yeah, I'd really hate to be the guy that had to clock all those with a radar gun.
With a radar gun. Also, ready, how many ejaculates did he clock before he came to the average of 28 miles an hour? Like dozens?
You got to take a large sample size.
Like
at least 100.
I mean, you can't just go one. Oh, at 28 miles an hour. That's what it, you have to also do multiple men.
Yeah.
You have to do men of different age, men of different weight, men of different, black guys, Chinese guys, white guys. You have to really kind of run the gamut. So you got to go to a guy. Hey, look, you're my test market. You're a 40 year old guy. You're Asian. I need you to jack off, and I need to clock it. I got a radar gun. You know, let's do this.
Medical radar gun.
I'll give you $50 and some oarsman ale, and we'll call it a day. Then you got to go to like the 16 year old kid who's like jacking off all the time, and go, hey, you're a 16 year old white kid. You know, you're not overweight. I need, you know, you got to really, I'm sure the test subjects were vast.
28 miles an hour is an approximate average. So you got to think maybe a younger guy might shoot out at like 35.
What about Peter North? What about his speed?
He's probably like the Audubon.
So he's coming up on 50 miles an hour. Yeah, for sure. Peter North was out of control. He was fucking ridiculous. Did you know the body's fastest function? You know what that is?
No, what is that?
A sneeze. It's the fastest thing the body does. That's another little added did you know.
Oh, well.
I actually knew that one. But let's get to our interview with Greg Zahn. Greg Zahn is an incredible catcher. He a retired catcher. He played for a number of Major League Baseball teams. I think he played for Florida Marlins. I think he won a championship, actually, with the Florida Marlins. He played for Atlanta. He played with Milwaukee. He played with the Toronto Blue Jays for a spell. And that's where he's landed in Toronto with a network called Rogers Sportsnet. And he does all the Major League and Toronto Blue Jays analysis for Rogers Sportsnet. And he's a good friend. I've hung out with him a few times in Toronto. We've been to a few parties. I've thrown at Gibson guitars when I work there. Greg Zahn, baseball analyst for Rogers Sportsnet, talking Major League Baseball. It's that time of year again, folks. And he's on the Dangerous Darren Show. Check it out.
On the telephone here at the Dangerous Darren Show with baseball analyst for Rogers Sportsnet and a World Series champion, Mr. Greg Zahn. Hey, bud.
I'm doing well. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, keeping well, actually it's really warm here in Los Angeles, but you're in Toronto. It's pretty cold, yeah?
Yeah, it's a warm day for Toronto. It's up above freezing, so looks like all the snow will be melted by the end of the day.
And what are you doing today, hockey?
Yeah, I'm going to play goal today.
Oh, you're playing goal? I didn't know you were a goalie.
Yeah, I just started playing out too, which is a lot of fun. Great exercise, but they need a goalie for today, so I got to switch my equipment out when I get to the arena.
Yeah. I guess you're kind of used to having pucks or balls flying at you at high rates of speed. That's something that doesn't phase you, really.
No. The instincts were there to play goal, but the skating skills were not. That's still a work in progress. I tell people if they want to make a game of it, shoot the puck. Don't just try to, like, fake me out and be one of these great goal scorers. You'll get a hat trick on me if you try the shake and bake route, but if you want to make a good game of it, stop 5 or 10 feet short of the net and try to wrist one or slap one by me. It'll make it a lot more fun.
Yeah, okay. I'll remember that next time we get on the ice, or if we ever get on the ice.
That's right.
A lot of fun. So you're actually from California. How often do you get back out here?
A couple times a year. My parents still live in Glendale and still enjoy it quite a bit, but you know, my life's here on the East Coast now, so
yeah. Well, I mean, now's the time to get away, right? But you're probably all getting geared up for the season coming up, right?
Yeah, totally. And I've completely switched. I was never much of a beach guy growing up in California. I didn't do a whole lot other than play golf and baseball. Love the outdoors, and so being in Canada for me, it provides a pretty rare opportunity to hunt and fish and ski and be outdoors in some pretty cool weather. So I did the bait and switch on my wife. She thought she was going to be a 30-year-old snowbird, and I sold my house in Florida and we bought a condo in Kelowna.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. It's nice out there.
Yeah, it's good. I've never seen it during the summertime. I only go out there to ski.
What about in Toronto? Do you live right in the city, like right in the core?
No, I used to. I moved out east. I got away from the city. I was the one thing I did bring with me from Los Angeles is the ability to road rage a little bit. These people cannot drive.
Oh, dude, on the 401, it's murder. Sometimes you just want to get out and just kill a guy. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Well, the pedestrians are even worse. They don't know how to cross the street. They don't understand the street signs.
Well, it's a lot of people, as you know, Toronto's multicultural. It's a lot of people from other parts of the world that aren't used to driving in a city like Toronto, which is huge. That, and then you throw in some ice and snow in there, and it makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's an interesting environment when the weather's playing its part.
Greg, you played in a lot of cities, Baltimore, Florida, Texas, Houston, all of it, Colorado, Tampa Bay, but Toronto seems to have really adopted you as one of their own. I mean, when you came to Toronto, we fell in love with you instantly. You were like part of the team. You were our guy, even though you retired and you came on Sportsnet. Are you feeling the love from people in Toronto?
Oh, yeah. This is my home now. It's not my hometown, but it's where I make my home and playing here. I had my best years as a player in Toronto. Got a great opportunity for basically a third lease on life that I never thought was going to happen. I was pretty much on the verge of being out of the game. Greg Myers rolled his ankle, and I came up and got hot. Carlos Tosca and I had a relationship from the Marlins days, and he gave me an opportunity to be a starter, and I ran with it and had, like I said, had my best years. And I think it's the blue-collar mentality and the hockey mask that I wore that endeared me to the population here in Toronto and all over Canada.
Do you still have that mask? You play with it when you're in net?
Oh, I got them all mounted on the wall downstairs in my man cave. I had to get a totally different cage. The helmet itself would work, but the cage would not. So I had to get a couple new ones.
Right. Yeah, Toronto has definitely fell in love with you. And I guess I have to ask you one thing I've always wanted to ask you, Greg, is your fashion sense is pretty outrageous. It's pretty unique. It's pretty cool, actually. Is that something that you adopted yourself years ago, a long time ago, before you knew who Don Cherry was?
Yeah, it's funny. People automatically assume, unless they know me and have known me for years, that I am in some way or shape copying or paying homage to Don Cherry, and that's not the case at all. I mean, his stuff is in a league all by itself. My fashion sense always came from being the shortest guy in the room. I was always trying to cause attention to myself with regards to the ladies. Because when you walk into a room with a half a dozen guys over the height of 6'4", and you're 5'10", short, you know, pale and ugly, you got to figure a new way to get some attention.
Yeah.
I've always celebrated wearing a suit. I loved wearing it in the early days of my career. In fact, I carried through wearing a suit on a road trip every time I left home because I thought that was the classy thing to do. I thought it was the professional way to look. Not a big believer in these guys who wear jeans and a t-shirt on the road these days. A lot of managers themselves don't want to wear a suit. I've always celebrated it, so I keep my finger on the pulse of fashion. I look at, you know, different things that are going on, shirts, ties, different cuts of suits. I always try to keep it fresh.
Well, you definitely do, that's for sure. I mean, when you're on, you look good on TV. It's a good look.
Well, thank you. You know, it's funny because people, they'll tune in for, you know, one of three reasons. They'll either tune in to love what I say, hate what I say, or tune in just to see what I'm wearing that night. And either way, they're tuning in, and they were tuning in record numbers last year.
That's great. Talking about the Jays, Greg, and we have to talk about them. Last year, obviously, everybody remembers what they did, that magical run they went on. They came so close. If it wasn't for that, I mean, it was fan interference, if you ask me, on the side. But we'll get that. I digress. I mean, the Jays in 2016, do you think that they can improve on that .574 win percentage? And how do you think their chances are in the AL East this year?
Well, I think they're a better club on paper today than they were a year ago today.
Really?
You know, yeah, they're better. They've got more depth in the starting rotation, and it comes with, you know, the under the premise that David Price wasn't on the Blue Jays a year ago. So we can't say that they're a better club than the day that the season ended, but they're better today than they were a year ago today. So, and I look at the depth that they've added. Yeah, granted, we're not talking about, you know, number ones. There are no aces on this team. But there's a bunch of good number threes, a bunch of solid threes, and even a couple of solid fours in that rotation. The only thing that worries me is they're all fly ball pitchers. And Stroman, even though he's, 18-9 in his big league career, he hasn't faced any teams three times yet, two and three times. He's gonna find out what it's like to pitch in the American League East for a full season if he can stay healthy. And he's presumably, you know, the best that they have in the rotation. Offensively, they're going to score a ton of runs. So I tell people all the time, be excited about this club. Understand that they're going to win a bunch of games by 10 and they're going to lose a bunch of games by 1. It's the other 40 that they're going to have to figure out how to be a little bit more dynamic offensively, and they're going to have to learn how to keep the ball in the ballpark and not give up free bases via walk.
I agree with you for sure that Price wasn't there when the team started the season, and I don't think, I mean, he won some games for them in the regular season, but come playoff time, he wasn't the David Price that we had hoped he was going to be. Offense, yeah, you're right. They can hit the ball out of the park. They got tons of bats. There's no doubt about that. But defensively, what gaps do you think they need to fill before the start of the season?
Well, defensively, I think they're pretty solid. I mean, it looks like Michael Saunders is going to be the everyday left fielder. He's a really athletic kid. Injuries and, you know, lack of playing time have kept him from really showing what he's capable of. He already hit a couple of home runs the other day. Center field, they got all the defense they can use. In fact, you know, Kevin Pillar, I think he's such a talented defender in center field, he actually dresses up a ton of catches every year just to make it more interesting for himself. He's good in the outfield. Bautista's serviceable in right, depending on whether his arm comes back. First base, depending on whether Smoke's at first. If he's at first, you got a premium defender there. Goins is probably going to open the season as the opening day second baseman, unless Darwin Barney continues to swing the bat the way he swung the bat in the early goings of spring. And either way, Darwin Barney, he's got a gold glove at second base. He's a guy who's also a premium defender. The bat's been the only question with him. Tulowitzki's a premium defender up the middle. You got, you know, Donaldson, a premium third baseman at third. Russell Martin's a serviceable guy behind the dish. I like their defense right now. They're going to catch the ball just fine for me.
So offense good, defense good. I mean, I guess pitching seems to be the one thing, Achilles heel, so to speak, if there is any Achilles heel on this team, yeah?
Yeah, the starting pitching, and it's like that for a lot of ball clubs. I mean, think about where they would have been last year or where they would not have been without the emergence of, you know, Marco Estrada. You know, he's going to have to go out and have a similar year that he had last year, top 10 ERA, in order to fill the void. Because they also lost 200 innings from a guy like Mark Burley and 14 wins. So pitching, starting pitching is the question mark for a lot of ball clubs. I think their bullpen will be a strong point again. You've got fallback with regards to the closer situation in Drew Storen. You've got premium arms like Aaron Sanchez. I mean, that kid, when he's out of the bullpen, he's really dynamic, really dynamic. You know, Brett Cecil will be back. They got some help down there in the bullpen. It's just a matter of getting six strong out of their starting rotation early in the season so that bullpen doesn't get overcooked. Before the All-Star break. J.A. Happ, you know, he is what he is. He's a fly ball pitcher. I think a lot of his success had to do with pitching in Seattle. And, you know, people point to the late success in Pittsburgh. And I tell people, you know what? Show me somebody that can do it for a full year in the American League East, and I'll be a believer. I'm waiting to see whether or not he can. Jesse Chavez, presumably same situation. A former Jay, went out to the West Coast, put up good numbers, came back a presumably improved guy. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, they've got Brad Penny and Kevin Floyd waiting in the wings in case one of these kids falters.
Well, it was an exciting run for sure. I can't wait to see them do it again this year. I mean, you were in the thick of it, Greg. That must have been an exciting run to be on when they were winning all those games and the city of Toronto was polarized and dynamic by that incredible run, regular season and playoffs. If you had to give your professional opinion, not being a homer or not being biased, do you think they got a pretty good shot of coming anywhere close to that again?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Like I said, they're better on paper than they were going into last year. I think the offense is going to carry them a long way. I think they'll get some consistent pitching, but they've got depth in case somebody doesn't get it done. I'm guessing they're going to win somewhere between, you know, 87 and 92 games in the regular season, mm-hmm. barring major injury to one of their offensive guys. You know, they can't afford to lose a Bautista or a Donaldson. The edge that they've got is Tulowitzki for a full season, and he was nowhere near the Troy Tulowitzki that we know during the regular season for the Blue Jays. So they've got offense to spare. They're going to have to get out of the gates early because Boston is presumably going to be 100% better than they were last year. They've got some guys in, Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez. It takes some doing to get used to playing in a place like Boston. Those guys had down seasons. Farrell was sick with cancer. Lots of things happened. And then you look at the bullpen for the Yankees. Holy smokes, that place is going to be reborn. And then when Chapman gets off his suspension, it's going to be a 5-inning ball game for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, the AL East has always been a monster. It has always been a tough division to be in. But now the Jays are competitive, and they look to repeat what they did again. And, hey, I got to let you run. But next time I'm in Toronto, Greg, let's definitely connect and hit up a game together. It'd be fun to watch a game with a pro like you.
Yeah, it's a good spot from where we're at. Anytime.
All right, Greg, thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
Cheers.
There you go, folks. My chat with Greg Zahn, a professional baseball analyst for Rogers Sportsnet up there in Toronto, covering MLB for Rogers through their channel Sportsnet. And he's a good friend, a good guy, and a great catcher. And he's a snappy dresser. If you've ever seen the show, you know Don Cherry, right?
From yes.
Hockey Night in Canada. He's a very sharp dresser. He dresses in weird suits and jackets and whatever, ties. Well, Greg Zahn's the same way. And he didn't do that because of Don Cherry. He did that because he's always, if you listen to the interview, he says he's always been a snappy dresser. Always, since day one. Just separated him from other guys on the team. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be like you today. Oh, you're dressed in a Dodgers Rasta shirt, which I love, and I need one.
This is a one-off, so I'll get you one. But okay. It'll be
and I'll get
number
you the Slayer,
one of two.
I'll get you the Slayer King's shirt as well. I know a guy.
Who knows a guy?
I know a guy who knows a guy. Let's get to some music news. Check out this little number.
Lots going on in the world of music. News, news, news from the world of music. Music, 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 music. Music news in your motherfucking face. Yeah.
There you go. A little music news intro music written by Fife Dog.
Oh, all the time.
You want a tip? Was it?
Yeah, on point Fife.
Yeah, point Fife. All the time tip. Yeah, that was written by Fife Dog. That was one of the later things he did in his life before he passed recently. That's bad news, actually. Sad news that Fife passed away. He was 45 years old, a young guy. Complications related to diabetes. So watch your sugar intake, folks. Yeah, Fife Dog. And great rapper, great hip-hop, great MC with us. I know not with us any longer. His name was Malik Isaac Taylor. Fife Dog, with us no more. But big news in the music news right now, TS. Smashing Pumpkins have announced that they are, for the first time in 16 years, James Iha will be rejoining the band and his bandmates, Billy Corgan and Jimmy Chamberlain, while they perform songs from Siamese Dream this summer.
That's pretty epic news.
Where's Darcy, though? It's not the Smashing Pumpkins unless it's cute little Darcy's there playing bass.
What's she doing?
I don't know.
Maybe she's just over it.
She might be over it, or maybe Billy's over it. But James will be back. It'll be three-fourths of the original Smashing Pumpkins lineup. Maybe they can talk Darcy into it. That's pretty cool. Again, Fife Dog, really sad passing that he went away. And Goldfinger Show, we have a Goldfinger Show to announce to you. That's a confirmed Goldfinger sighting.
Really?
This summer.
Yeah. All right.
April 30th, West Palm Beach, Florida. It is a thing called Sunfest. And it's www.sunfest.com for the information on ticketing on the show. We're playing with Flogging Molly.
I've done Sunfest.
Have
it's
you?
A lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
West Palm Beach,
Florida.
You've
done every festival ever of all time.
Girls in bikinis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it on the beach?
It's like a street festival, pretty close to the beach.
All right.
Yeah.
We're on at 3 o'clock, and then Flogging Molly are on at 5. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's some other bands, too, going on, like some hip-hop bands after us I've never heard of. But us and Flogging Molly are the main attraction.
It's going to be going off, for sure. I'm sure.
I'd like to think. You said you got some music news, too.
Yeah, you know, they announced the organizers of the This Is Hardcore Fest have announced the lineup. And tickets go on sale April 1st, a couple days. It's in Philadelphia from August 4th to the 7th.
Wow.
Featuring bands like Youth of Today, Gorilla Biscuits, Terror, Turning Point, Killing Time, Strife.
Killing Time.
Killing Time's playing.
Fuck.
Strife, Integrity. Just too many to mention. They just announced this, so, you know, there's going to be more bands added,
Sick of
I'm
It
sure.
All on it?
They're not on it.
They're touring, though.
They are, but they might be out of the country or something. Actually, they're... Which, that's a funny you ask, because Sick of It All is on their 30 years of New York hardcore tour.
Jesus
starting
Christ.
April 1st in San Diego, the Soda Bar. And
San Diego. That's the closer to coming to L.A.?
No. They're going to be at the Roxy.
Roxy, that's
they're
right.
They're going to be very close on April the 3rd.
April 3rd?
April 3rd. That's soon. Next Sunday.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, that's next Sunday. So check it out, sickofitall.com. And the anyone who voted, did you see this? You could vote for their set list. You could pick any song, and based on the voters that they would...
And then they're just going to play it.
They're just going to play based on...
That's weird because a band with a discography as long as Sick of It All have a lot of songs.
They have a lot to choose from.
So, I mean, I know that Goldfinger have a lot of records. And if someone said to us, hey, can you play Forgiveness? I'd be like, I have no idea how to play that song. I know how it goes. I'd have to sit down and listen to it. But for them to just automatically know how to play every single song in their discography is impressive.
So, you know, I don't know. I think it was a voting process. So, you know, the younger kids are going to vote for things that they know, or us old guys are just going to like.
Yeah, just play Blood, Sweat, and No Tears, the whole record.
Top to bottom. So
Built to Last. Just play the whole record.
It'll be interesting to see. So we're going next Sunday.
Absolutely. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Our good friends in Sick of It All. We've known them a long time. We saw them recently, didn't we, with Rancid last year?
Yeah, last year.
That was fun.
Ink and Iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. And then Rancid play Out Come the Wolves. Yeah, that was a fun show. We went back and hung out with the boys.
Good times.
Did we miss? No, we saw all of them.
We saw everything.
We saw all of them. Yeah, I thought maybe we might have missed one of them, but we saw them all. You got some weed news for me?
I do.
It looks like from your notes, TS, that you have done some scribbling.
I've done lots of scribbling.
So let's waste no time and get to the weed news theme.
Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news, weed news, weed news. Weed news.
Weed news in your motherfucking face.
Yeah.
So there's lots going on, CS. It seems like every single minute of every single day, there's new news that drops, and most of it's significant, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of breakthroughs happening. It's constantly evolving. Evolution is in progress as we speak.
It's exponential. But before you jump into the weed news, let's crack open another round of whatever we got going on here.
All right.
What do you have?
I have Early Riser Coffee Porter.
What?
It's a coffee... It's like a coffee stout or porter. It's a dark beer.
What are the good people who make that?
Boulevard Brewing.
Boulevard?
Since 1989.
Huh. What's it called again? Early Riser?
Early Riser.
Huh.
It's okay. Got a rooster.
You got me a can of Hell or High Watermelon made by the good people at 21st Amendment Brewing. And there's a picture of the Statue of Liberty. And she took off her crown. I don't know where she put it. Oh, she put it, and she put the crown on top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay.
And she has the book leaning up against one of the pillars of the bridge, and she's just basically chilling out here in San Francisco, which is a long trek for her. For the Statue of Liberty, she had to walk fucking coast to coast.
She's got a long stride.
She's got a big stride, I was just going to say. Yeah, yeah. So she only took her like an hour. Let me crack this open. Hold on. All right. Hell or High Watermelon. And you got the Early Riser. Brew.
Coffee
Porter?
Porter.
Okay, there you go. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's like a breakfast beer.
That's refreshing. Breakfast beer. it's Jim Morrison.
It's coffee.
Beer.
Coffee and beer.
Watermelon beer. Interesting. I like it. Okay, what's going on in the world of weed news?
All right. Weed news. Hashtag weed news. Is
hashtags today.
Brought to you by marijuana.com. Let's see. A new study, CBD promotes antidepressant-like effects. So CBD is one of the active ingredients contained in medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. As we know, it offers hope to children with epilepsy. But the good folks at Neuropharmacology found out that CBD has more to give. So they've been experimenting on OBX mice. And scientists have observed a noteworthy decline in hyperactivity typically observed with anxiety and depression in humans.
Okay.
So this is from the doctors themselves. Quote, CBD induces rapid acting antidepressant like results, unquote. And also, CBD could represent a novel fast acting antidepressant drug via enhancing both serotonergic and glutamate signals in the brain.
Okay, so doctors are finding new applications for CBDs.
Yes, that we didn't know before. Now that they're actually studying for epilepsy, mm-hmm. there's other effects.
Depression. A lot of people suffer from epilepsy. There are a lot, but there's a lot of people that suffer from depression.
You know, it gives it gives hope to the 14.8 million Americans who suffer from major depressive disorders.
Okay, that's a few people.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's a few people. So it seems like every time I ask you what's going on in the world of weed and weed news, you always drop a good news bomb. It's rarely that you say there's something going on and it's bad and here's the news. It seems like every time I ask, it's a piece of joy coming from the world of weed news.
Well, we're making steps forward, and that's positive progress. So I like to stay positive. PMA all day.
Smoke a joint. Right. Stay positive.
Stay positive.
I just think it's a situation where we're in 2016 and we're rolling along, and it seems like the stigma that was been attached to marijuana and marijuana use over the last several decades is slowly taking a dive.
It's declining.
It's declining, yes. I think more average people, older, even senior citizens are like, well, science is fucking science, and science doesn't lie. So if the facts are on paper from these reputable scientists talking about what this does and how it cures this and cures this and helps that and does this and does that, facts are facts. I think you can't argue with it. Trump supporters are going to argue with facts because they're all fucking idiots.
Argue science,
but
the numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie. Exactly. Well, this is good news, TS. I'm happy about this, and it just seems like more good news coming from the world of weed, from the world of sports. What's going on right now? You have the Final Four in the NCAA basketball tournament all set. You have the Syracuse Orangemen, number 10 seed. That no one expected to get as far as I have, facing the North Carolina Tar Heels. And then the other side of the bracket, you have the Villanova Wildcats versus your Oklahoma Sooners.
I don't know.
I just designated them as your team.
Like, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm assuming you're going for the Orangemen like me.
Yeah, I'll throw my Orangemen jersey.
Yeah, they played a good game the other day. They beat Virginia, and they were down by 15 in the second half. And I watched it happen right before my eyes at Barney's Beanery. They flipped a switch and turned into this fucking storm of three-point shots, storm of turnovers, driving the ball into the lane with an extra plus one. That coupled with Virginia down the stretch throwing up bricks. The Orangemen are now in the Final Four. go figure. Good for them. But not of the people are picking the Orangemen to be smoked by the North Carolina Tar Heels. And I wouldn't argue with that. I mean, Tar Heels are good, and the Orangemen are just lucky to have gotten this far. But, hey, there's Cinderella stories all the time, so who knows? If I had to pick one team out of those four, I think it's Oklahoma Sooners this year. I think they're going to go all the way. I mean, with Kansas out, I mean, Oklahoma looks really good. Have you watched any of the games?
I've been holed up in the desert. I haven't watched much of college hoop this.
No,
you've been
making meth with Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah.
So they're doing that. That's what's going on in the tournament in the world of the Kings. The Kings are on the final push of their season. They've won a few games. They just came off a three-game losing streak on the road, but and then they came home and they beat. the Edmonton Oilers 6-4, and they're on a I mean, hopefully this is they're back on the positive side of winning some hockey games, because the Ducks aren't losing, Sharks aren't losing, Dallas isn't losing, and I would really like to see the Kings go into the playoffs with the number one seed in the West getting home ice.
You know, they've clinched, and that's not enough. So what
that's never that's enough.
Never enough. So what was my question?
The question is this. Me and you are going to a the game when they win the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
It's happening again. We did it once before, and we're doing it again, and it's going to be a moment where we hug and cry like little girls, and it's going if you remember, I teared up. I got a little. I welled up a bit. I'm welling up thinking about me welling up. It was a spiritual thing for me.
You know, it was all those overtimes. Everybody in the building was sobering up.
Do you remember every single shot on goal was just a nail biter, and every rush up the ice was like, "Oh my god!"
off the crossbar, just wide, saved, just crazy.
Yeah, they're right. There was a crossbar in that overtime. Like, I remember now. Yep. We're like, "Are you kidding me?" I kind of want to go back to New York. Finally, Kobe Bryant retiring. He only has maybe a few more home games left in the schedule. He's finishing up his career at home against the Utah Jazz. And I looked on StubHub, and tickets are going for like $1,500 for 300 level seats.
That's insane.
Fucking believe that.
That's crazy.
If you have season tickets for the Lakers, you could sell those pairs and buy season tickets for like the next probably 2 years.
Oh man, 1,500 for 300 level? That's insane, man.
It's probably going to go higher. It's going to go a bit higher, but
I think they'll drop. I think they'll drop probably by that time.
Yeah, probably.
When's the last game of the season? It's coming up. We got like
another 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we got some time. They're going to go on some road trips and stuff. But my question is this, Kobe. Kobe Bryant, does anybody care really anymore at this point? Anybody care?
Not me. He's got a lot of fans, though. Still.
I don't know. I kind of want it to be over. I want the season to be over. I want Kobe to go quietly into the night, and I want the Lakers to rebuild with their talented kids like Randall, and they got this Clarkson kid who Clarkson guy does is drop three bombs. That's it. He's like three. He's like fucking insane. And the Lakers look good. They got a lot of young kids coming up, and Meta World Peace might have another year or two in him as far as being the elder statesman to help some of these younger kids like move on and become better ball players. They got Russell, they got Randall, they got Swaggy P, you know, Nick Young. They got a lot of pieces on this team that eventually, maybe two years down the road, get a couple more draft picks, a couple more years of maturation, the Lakers could become a playoff team again. That'd be exciting.
I just found some statistics about Kobe Bryant and his popularity.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
You know, last year in China, he was the number one selling jersey. There's a lot of Chinese basketball fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a few billion people there, so numbers don't lie.
What else? I don't know. He's still selling a lot of jerseys. That's unbelievable.
He's selling shoes, too. He's big. I think he's an Adidas guy.
Yeah.
Or is he Nike?
No, he's an Adidas guy.
Is he Adidas?
I saw they released his one of his shoes on Venice Beach one day. It was epic. It was crazy down there. He showed up with huge police escort.
I mean, I know these athletes have shoes and they have jerseys, obviously, but why don't athletes have condoms? Like this is the condom that I use. I endorse Trojan.
The Magic Johnson celebrity endorsed Magnum condom.
Magic Johnson never wore condoms. That's why I got AIDS.
Well, he should endorse them now. Dodgers condom. You know what bands make condoms? Like Morrissey always had. They were like Morrissey condoms.
Really?
Yeah. That's a great merch.
No animal products.
It's a great merch item.
Morrissey condom.
The Goldfinger condoms.
They'd all be used. What's a condom? Exactly. What's a condom? Let's get to some music right now. Music from a Paradigm Shift, hip hop artist out of Los Angeles. He sent us some music and it's really, really good. Check it out. This song is called "Shot Down." Paradigm Shift hip hop on the Dangerous Darren Show.
Yeah. New day, a new bottle of JB and 100 on some gas. Fucking LA is killing me lately. Billing me for pimping in my own parking lot. Two new tickets, one for the meter and one because I'm hot. Paradigm shot down your friend. And only if you around with her the next time I tell her come back again. But now she trying to act like she was part of the plan. Bitch, I should know I've been a man with it for a minute. While I be acting dismissive, I've seen it all before, even now from a distance. Quit playing with your kittens. YouTube yourself some shit living. The visual stimulus, bitches ain't getting this beautiful mind tight shit. No rewrites this first and quit, because the words the first time was so perfect. All right, I stop, but you get it. Feeling I've been doing this forever. I got a bottle of seven and I just keep singing.
In a distant past, but somehow it's all gone now. Good things can never last.
Good things can never last.
You fall down all the further.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you spit your change.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Memories are your prime.
Shit. Hey yo, I'm on to the better things, but I'm never changing on you. Steady repping bigger chains, bad bitches raining on them. I talk money on the flow, but you ain't old enough to strip. I'm talking money in my droves, and I got money in my doughs. Peephole, this is for the people. Should we preparing for the sequel, for the first one finished? And we be saying there's no equals if there's not one witness. I've been about my business when I'm around my mistress. Hey yo, I'm waiting for centerfolds, waiting for these better clothes, waiting on time to better catch up with the time, waiting for these better views. Pacing in my leather shoes up a mountain, climbing to the top. Never gonna fucking stop.
Left your mark in a distant past, but somehow it's all gone now. Good things can never last. You are down all the further, and you spent your change. Memories are your prime.
Here we go. You know I move forward, whatever the course of action. Move towards success until I'm grasping it. I'm holding on for dear life, no attachment to it. Move past and fluid, yo, my flow master fluid. No ad libs, stupid, now this is all ambition. I'm trying to man missions from the passenger seat. It's pissing me off, the mad student when the teacher ain't getting involved. I need to go a little swank on them, full tank on them like.
Hip hop, cars with chrome wheels, drinking in the club,
popping bottles,
smoking blunts, breaking the law.
I got a Glock in my Vespa.
Said no hip hop guy ever. Music from Paradigm Shift out of Los Angeles and a song called Shot Down. Loving it, TS. Thanks for finding that. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah, good shit, man.
Good fucking shit out of Paradigm Shift. Definitely look them up on, I don't think they have the website, but they definitely have a SoundCloud page,
SoundCloud.
And they also have a Twitter account, at Paradiggy, P-A-R-A-D-I-G-G-Y, music from Paradigm Shift. We'd like to thank our guest on the show, Greg Zahn, baseball analyst for Rogers Sportsnet. And again, I'd like to thank you to the Paradigm Shift for the song Shot Down. Next week, keeping the baseball theme going, TS, we have Scott Radinsky. He is the singer for the punk rock bands, plural, 10-foot pole and pulley. He had a career in baseball doing relief pitching for a number of teams, including the Dodgers. Now he is a bullpen coach for the Los Angeles Angels and a good friend of mine, and he said we can come see the Angels whenever we want.
Amazing.
So yeah. Let's wait until they play the Blue Jays, and we'll go check that out.
We'll go down for the Dodger game, too.
Oh, yeah, the
freeway series. And they play the Yankees several times a year.
Blue Jays, Yankees, Dodgers, we're going to be spending some time on the 5 freeway going to the Angel Stadium.
I've sat in the player's family section. It's nice.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure Scott
can get up. So we'll be sitting with the wives and girlfriends.
Oh, my God. That's going to be unbelievable. okay, TS, thanks for coming in the show. I'd like to thank again our good folks at Roland for the use of the V drums at Roland USA and Blue microphones.
Nice projection.
Minus the burp, just at Blue microphones. TS is on Twitter. He's active at Burn H Wood Burn. I'm at Darren99, and the show is DangerousD_show. Thanks for tuning in. TS, have a great week.
Cheers, you too.
Go Dodgers. Go Kings. See you next week.
Early riser.